The K-Jazz Show, Sundays on Kofifi FM 97.2.
This Sunday, we welcome back a profound musical thinker, a sonic architect, and one of the most quietly influential forces in contemporary South African jazz. He last graced our airwaves when he gifted us with Baba in 2016, and since then, his artistry has only deepened, sharpened, and expanded. Pianist, composer, bandleader, scholar, and collaborator of the highest order, Yonela Mnana returns to the K-Jazz Show with a brand new offering, Echoes of Marabi, a bold, beautiful collaboration with Swiss saxophonist Benedict Riesing and the transcendent Soul T Sisters. Welcome back to the show.
Yeah, thanks for the invite.
Oh, pleasure. It's always ours. You know, it's been quite the journey, you know, since Baba in 2016. Let's talk about, you know, how you feel returning with a project that not only marks your second jazz album, but also has redefined how you speak, you know, to the memory of South Africa's music.
Yeah, I think in my view, it doesn't feel like I've been away in a way. It's just maybe as far as releasing something that, you know, is in my name. That's the only thing that has changed. I've been around, from 2016. I think after the launch, I had gotten a concert essay grant, and then I've since been, you know, doing other things. I completed my master's around 2018. And have been working on various projects. We released some work with Manda, what is it, Born to be Black. And I also collaborated with him, I think, just close to right at the beginning of the COVID, when he was doing the TRC. I put some vocals. So I've, you know, some work was always being done. I also, I think in 2020, did some work with Sisonke Tonti on his work, which is Ukaba. And then I worked again with Mlangeni on the Oratorio of a Forgotten Youth.
That's right.
And we took that project to New York and to Newport last year. And I mean, it actually even got a Best Jazz Award last year. So it's been such a bumper to bumper thing. And I think, I mean, that's quite a mouthful to for you to say that I'm you know, commenting on, you know, on South African you know, South African's music legacy and how it sounds. I think that's an ever, you know, an ever evolving challenge to all of us as South African musicians, in the sense that, you know, we all are trying to say something. We all are trying to find our consciousness and to tap into the conscience generally of South African soundscape and how it relates to the society in general.
You know, I want to talk, Yonela, to Echoes of Marabi, which is essentially a very evocative title. You know, it's almost like an invitation to listen backward and forward, you know, at the same time. Let's talk about the earliest seeds or the earliest whispers that sparked this collaboration with Benedict and the Soul T Sisters.
Yeah, I've been working with the Soul T Sisters for quite some time, because I work in the East Rand in Katlehong, and I'm at a school that offers music is something that kids can come after classes, so it's a magnet school. So I found them from that project. So in 2016, I identified them and approached them to see if they can be an ensemble that also addresses, you know, South African music. Because what the project has been doing was to train them as opera and choral singers. So it was quite a learning curve also for me, because there's a difference between, you know, an intention and the actualization of it. So that's really how I started Salty. Similarly with Benedict Rising, I had met him through Mandla. Actually, one of the other projects that I did with Mandla was called The Meal. And when we went to Switzerland in 2019 to tour it, I actually lived in a flat that was shared by Benedict. And we actually started this conversation about working together also in the future. And so when he came with another of his projects called A Million O'Clock last year, because we couldn't do anything during COVID. So when he came last year in May, it happened that Tandy couldn't do some of the gigs. Tandy Ntuli couldn't do some of the gigs. So he asked me to do those gigs, but I was like, now that you're here, maybe, you know, we can also, we can work on some music. And, and then I was like, you know, it would be nice to put all these people that I love together and do the music that I think needs some attention. So, and I like what you're saying about listening backwards and forwards, because, I mean, it's a process of constant reorientation. So also, I think we play like that as well. We play as a response to the echoes, but we create them as well. And so, yes, the echoes in themselves are the seeds also of other echoes because of the ones that came before.
I wanted you to tell us about how you navigate then, you know, the relationship between honoring historical Marabi and creating something so boldly contemporary.
Yeah, I think, in fact, that's the solution, really. I don't think it's a dichotomy. We can only honor history by creating something. You know, one of the things that, I mean, we just returned from Europe. And one of the things that I observed is that they've got really old buildings. But the only way to make sure that, you know, they endure is for them to build around those buildings. They create around them without having to remove the, you know, the basis and the foundationary principles. And I think, I mean, that's the only way, you know. We can only immortalize by creating.
Kofifi FM, we're spending time here with pianist Yonel Amnana this Sunday, unpacking his latest project, Echoes of Marabi, a project, you know, that bends time, braids lineage, and invites us into a sonic conversation between past, present, and possibility. And of course, Yonela, the composition Unabantu, a suite, you know, that moves from a gentle hymn, you know, to a vigorous swing, like a narrative in motion, if I'm going to call it that. You know, let's talk about the story. What story were you telling through this dramatic progression?
You know, that song is really honoring my grandmother, who my maternal grandmother really brought me up. And she had to leave her hometown of Craydock to come to Pretoria as a teacher. And I think, in fact, that is my best direct line to Marabi in honoring her. So she was also a very deeply spiritual person. And she had passed on in 2023 at the age of 95. And I thought, you know, what a monument she's been. And the only way to appreciate her was to take a hymn that she really liked, which is Unabantu Bakotik. But like I'm saying, instead of regurgitating it, I just had to take what made sense to me, in the sense that I had to ask myself, what is it that really she, you know, she felt as she sang those words? And I created a new melody around it. And I thought also, as you're saying, in how the music is changing, that also depicts, you know, somehow her life from the youth to her thriving in the 50s as she came to Pretoria, and how she navigated all the struggles that most of the women were experiencing, black women in township South Africa.
Yeah.
And one of the other things that she managed, in fact, she came in a period where professional women were starting to be granted the right to own houses. And she bought hers, and she was quite proud of that.
Mm.
And obviously, she really, really loved education as well.
Yeah.
But she was, you know, uncompromising with her spirituality. So just those many things, I thought I should be able to celebrate her in, you know, in that way, you know, in a way that is soulful and singerful, in a way that dances, and also to give tribute to also her choral periods, because she actually was very close to a composer who they worked together in the 50s. So they used to actually go a little bit on tour. So somehow I think she almost became a musician in a way.
Yes.
And her brother, who was Dennis Mlana, also would have collaborations with what do they call that band? Soul Jazz Band. So I
Wow.
think these two people are the echoes of Marabi for me. That's how I can access them. And I
Yeah.
can only look at them to get those sounds. And for me, it's not even about that. Getting the sounds is about tapping into how the people managed to survive in the oppressed townships of that time. Because if we listen to those, we'll also be able to see ourselves now, because this is also we are navigating the system in a different way. So, but it's still a Marathi era in the present moment. So it's important to re-echo these things and echo them forward, as you say.
I'm thinking, as you are speaking now, Yonela, the project feels like an act of sonic archaeology. Maybe let's use that, across the six compositions on the offering. Let's reflect on the emotional, I guess, like you've touching base with the history of the conceptual map, or emotion that you were tracing as a composer and a band leader with the project.
Yeah, I think music, in its essence, is just emotion, and that emotion is conveyed through sound. But yeah, so that was one really important thing that I had understood later, that I think I can only contribute, energy and emotion, and I can't even credit myself for that. I think instead of me channeling it, I think it just channeled itself. I just had to hope that I'm allowing the music to transfer itself from where it came from. So somehow also we are the vessels through which the echoes are moving. And it's such a very interesting thing now that you talk about emotion, because it seems as if the general musical pieces are gradually getting devoid of that kind of emotional level, which is a sad thing, because music should be understood also as a functional tool, and And if it's devoid of emotion, then it's something else. It's just a product.
Of course, Kofifi FM in conversation with Nyonela this Sunday. And we've been unpacking echoes of Marabi, and we've also been, you know, exploring some of the music whilst we have the conversation with him. And I want to go back, you know, we've just listened to one of the compositions, Nyonela. You know, the Soul Tea Sisters, we're not merely featured, you know, as featured artists, maybe I could say that. They feel like an instrumental engine within the music. So how did you shape those arrangements, you know, to become part of the band rather than just backing vocalists? I'm sure that was very interesting.
Yes, way interesting also for me. I look at the Soul Tea as also an echo of what used to be. In the case of those groups such as the Skylarks, the Martella Queens, those girl groups, the Dark City Sisters. And I think in an era where everybody acquires their success by being soloists, this ensemble work shows that, you know, we can also be communal and go forward and re-echo this whole principle of Ubuntu.
Mm.
And I find that, really, I can't do this music without these ladies. They are at the center, and that tells us something about, you know, the important essence of women in general for the population to just, you know, so there won't be any echo without any birth, you know. I mean, with, you know, through our mothers were there, you know, the mothers are our first healers, our first educators, our first, you know, entertainers as well and nourishers. So maybe they come as providers in that way. They come as nourishers in a way that, you know, nature has you know, allowed them to be. And I think also that it is really, really also a little bit condescending to always use singers as an add-on. Because anyway, singing has been the most fundamental activity that man has always done. Man has always raised their voices against the heavens. And so that was really the most primary way of communicating with the creation. And so just to have that thing and to have them as really the main part, as the band, as you said, also has allowed me to redefine and question, you know, roles that we have for each other in a group configuration.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that the saxophone and the piano don't always have to be the ones that are leading in the same way that the, you know, the voices don't have to be the ones carrying the whole music. So there's a whole functional role playing that we have with each other throughout the songs, you know. Bow, ba dow 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 bow, ba dow dow dee. Oh,
And another important role that's being played here that we haven't really touched into is the involvement, you know, of Benedict's saxophone and flute work, you know, on the project, which are incredibly expressive, you know, when one listens, you know, intentionally. You know, sometimes it's soaring, at times it's whispering, you know. And the question there, or maybe what I want us to reflect on, you know, what made you feel he was the right collaborator to explore, help explore and reimagine this wonderful lineage of Marabi that we've been in conversation with throughout, you know, this time?
Special in the sense that he doesn't play like ordinary saxophone players. He doesn't seem to have suffered the institutional misdirection of regurgitating, you know, the lines, the same lines that we've been hearing. I like the idea of archaeology. Perhaps even himself is, you know, is trying to unearth a different path towards these echoes. So sometimes he was playing the baritone sax and becoming an accompanist. And the flute for me also was harking back to, you know, to the penny whistle of Kwela and Jive in South Africa.
Yes.
And I know that also he has an affinity to Zimbawan. But also, much more importantly, his proximity, I mean, to Switzerland is also a proximity to South African history, in a sense that all the musicians, you know, Makan Jogo, the Odola brands, all of them have been going to Switzerland, I think as early as the 60s and 70s, the Brotherhood of Bread. And the fact that perhaps the echoes were not necessarily limited to this geography, they went over, and somehow he seemed to have been carrying them back from there and back to South Africa. So somehow it's kind of like he has an ambassadorial role that he was playing.
Yes. Absolutely. I love that description. And of course, you know, we're spending time here with Yonela on the K-Jazz show. So, you know, I want us to look back, you know, Yonela, on the career that spans nearly two decades, you know, of profound and often behind the scenes influence, you know, co-producing, as mentioned earlier, for Sisonke Konti, to performing with giants like Zim Ngawana, Sibongile Khumalo, Ayanda Skate, Andile Yanana, you know, and so many others. How did those relationships now for you and the lineage that shaped the spirits of Marabi, you know, how did those relationships kind of bring you to this point where you look back, you know, reflecting on, you know, how important Switzerland is and how, you know, this geography does not necessarily contain Marabi, but it's a global language, you know, and how did that come across for you for the project?
You know, I was saying to Benedict, you know, sometimes even I feel that I don't want to take other shows. I feel it's better to be playing than not to be playing.
Yeah.
So I'm blessed to have met people like that. I don't think it's something that happens to everyone. You know, schools and universities produce many graduates, but, you know, it's not everybody that gets to go on the same path. So I was lucky. I mean, I was even thinking that perhaps it's not even just the artists that form and that shape a person's career, even the venues.
Mm.
I mean, I remember that, you know, when I was still a student, Ayanda actually recommended me to Nikki's. I used to play so much solo piano around the early 2000s. And also that's where I got to also meet Ndutuzo Makatini as well, and so many other people, and we used to go to Andile Yanana's place. He used to have a place in Yeovil, and a lot of pianists would come there, young pianists like me, and we would, you know, we would challenge each other. It was kind of like a mini jam session.
Yeah.
I remember Lefa Achos, so two guys, his son used to come there, who else? I used to go with my friend Bennett as well. So it would be such a joy to be trading, to be playing on one song. And, you know, like you're saying, it's an interesting reflection. I mean, Prafer, for one, you know, took me in as well, and used to, you know, was serious about the idea of a hidden triplet, and that he believed South Africa has so much to offer. I'm reminded also of Prabhani. Panera Chavan used to come to Nikki's. He always said, "Yay." He always said that to everybody. He says, "You're a master."
Yeah.
"You're a master." I think there's a deeper philosophy behind that really a person is always his own master. Mm. But yeah, I mean, I'm also reminded now, but also the liberating periods of, you know, the Orbit and the Freedom Station,
yeah,
when we were all given an opportunity to mess up as creators and leaders until, you know, up until we find ourselves.
Yeah.
So those processes, I mean, there's just so much to say. But yeah, I think also, I mean, this Echoes of Maravi is also part of my journey, you know. There's many other things that I, you know, want to do. So it's not really you know, the last and ultimate project, yeah, for me, but it's a really project that I'm happy to have managed to usher in. And I think other projects are going to be also regarded as levels of this Echoes of Maravi.
And absolutely, I agree, you know, and you're about to take this music on a 5-city national tour, Yonela. And for someone, you know, who's hearing Echoes of Maravi for the first time, you know, what experience and what feeling, what awakening, you know, do you hope they walk away with, and where can they catch you?
Yes, I always say, you know, music is almost like food. Even if I can tell people this is good for you, their palate will tell them. But I know, since this music is about our history, since it's about our country, I know everybody will like it. Everybody will love it, and they'll listen to it. And also, I think what is much more interesting about it is that it's kind of like it straddles many genres and many, many, many feelings. So I think the listeners will really, really enjoy, and also will form part of this Echoes of Maravi. Yes, I'm. We are launching this album in Joburg. We are going to be in Pretoria on Thursday at Black Labone, and then we're going to go to Durban at the Chairman on the 13th, and we'll be finishing the tour on the 14th of this month in Cape Town. And I think what is also interesting is that we've got this music in the CD format, but also in the vinyl format, which I think
Fantastic. Is
making a radical comeback. Another echo again.
Another echo.
Of Maravi.
Absolutely.
Another echo. And yeah, it's going to be so much fun. Otherwise, there's other projects that are already in the pipeline. People must just look out. Also, I think on these media platforms, on my Instagram and Facebook, there's going to be, you know, posters that have more details. And I know also that you're keen to share all these details.
We'll do just that. We'll do just that, of course, Kofifi FM. In a profound moment, you know, shared with the incomparable Yonela Mnana, the Sunday, you know, a thinker, a spirit, a musical craftsman who's just reminded us again that sound is not just heard, it is inherited, it is carried, it is questioned, it is reimagined. And of course, the Sunday, we journeyed through the echoes of Maravi, a project, you know, that does more than honor our musical ancestry. It expands the conversation and reframes the archive and calls us to listen with intention. Of course, course, as Yonela, Benedict, and the Salty Sisters prepare to take this music across the country, we do invite you, you know, our loyal K-Jazz community, to follow the tour, as he mentioned. Of course, show up and be part of this living history. Yonela, thank you so much for joining us this Sunday.
Well, thank you. Actually, just to reflect, I'm realizing that actually Sofia Town and Kofifi are also the echoes of this past Marawi
period. Absolutely.
And I'm happy that you're willing to continue spreading the reverberation of these echoes.
And we can
think the echoes are the only stories that we know South African music about. Thanks again. And I hope to be talking to you quite soon.
Absolutely, you shall do exactly that. His name is Yonela Mnana, from Johannesburg to the world. And he was on the K-Jazz Show.